To all my friends who are in the shower right now, I greet you. I, Martin Zender, greet you. All my friends in the shower, and their number is considerable. Believe it or not, yes, people have told me that they listen to the show in the shower. They have a waterproof something or other, or they put their little speaker outside the shower, and while they're showering, they listen to this show. So, welcome. You're becoming cleansed, baptized, as it were, and I am regaling you with the Word of God through the agency of the Spirit of God. Good morning, everyone. I am Martin Zender. This is the Revelation series. I am not now taking a shower, although don't put it past me to someday broadcast from the shower. Maybe my next series will be completely from the shower. Do you remember that Seinfeld episode when Kramer did everything from the shower? He made a salad in the shower. It was great. It was great. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. I don't feel like talking about the Revelation series today. I know I still have to talk to you about the height of the New Jerusalem. It extends into the exosphere. Yes, you heard right, the exosphere. But what I feel like doing this morning is talking to you about the Amish and the Mennonites and a church sign that I saw one day from the aforementioned people. Now, my job as an evangelist on this religious scarred planet sometimes frustrates me so badly that I just need to like go on an exercise. And back in the day, I would walk 8 miles a day, and I did it just to stay sane. You know, repetitive movement, whether you're swimming or you're bicycling or you're jumping rope or you're walking, repetitive movement is kind of meditative and zen-like. You can get into a nice little state. And I remember a really particularly a bad period I was having a few years ago. And I've had a couple crises in this ministry where I've actually felt like, you know, doing something simple and satisfying like waiting tables at Applebee's. And at this time in my life, this was probably 10 years ago, I thought, yeah, waiting tables at Applebee's would be a huge relief compared to fighting the uphill battle of opposing the mainstream religious hypocrisy. So one day, 10 years ago, I was banging out another 8 mile jaunt. And I felt one day away from quitting this whole work. And I was on this 8 mile walk, and basically I just wanted to keep going. Why not? This is what I asked myself. Why not keep going? Just walk, walk, keep walking. Sometimes that's the only thing that makes sense. I wanted to walk for a year and see where I ended up. You know, just walk and walk. Forget this God stuff. People have told me, Martin, just forget this God stuff. And I'll admit, it's hard. I was just talking to a friend, and she said, I wonder if Paul got discouraged. I said, Paul used the phrase, we were despairing of life. Paul, the apostle, said he was despairing of life. Now, the word Nike existed in Paul's day. It's a Greek word. The shoe company didn't exist, I don't think, unless they made sandals back then. But the word did exist. And it was stolen by Phil Knight, the founder of Nike. And the word means victory. But the Nike company can be credited with the saying, just do it. And this was Paul's attitude, just do it. One doesn't need to be inspired. Do not wait for inspiration, my friends, to either believe this message or to herald this message. You don't need inspiration. You do not need inspiration. You do not need to wake up with this Christian sheen around you that every day's a Friday, like Joel Osteen says. You don't need that. You just need the Nike saying, just do it. That's true victory. You see how I'm tying all this in? Nike, the Greek word, victory. The Nike company, which is completely contemporary. I understand that. But I think this was Paul's attitude. Just do it. It's Christianity that tells you need to be in a good mood. You need to constantly be up, that depression is not of God. I once told somebody that. I'm ashamed of it today. I told somebody, depression is not of God. You should be joyful as a Christian. Look, joy is deep. Joy is deep, deep in your being. I'm not going to get new age on you, but we can be joyful deep down in the bedrock of our being, even while our surface waves crashes like the ocean. Saltwater spray. The ocean is a great analogy, if I don't mind saying so. Because the ocean, I mean, even my swimming, forget the ocean, my swimming pool, when I was growing up, my family had a swimming pool. Yes, I was a privileged child. I had a concrete hole with water in it, or as Jed Clampett would say, a cement pond. I noticed that when it was raining, it would be pounding and pelting on the surface, but if I just went like even 3 or 4 feet under the water, 1 foot under the water, it was calm and peaceful. That's your bedrock. I know you. I know you. I know your bedrock is calm, and I know that the surface is being pelted with rain or sleet or worse, thunder, lightning, whatever. But if you go far enough under the water, you get to the bedrock, you get to the foundation of the ocean that's always peaceful, it's always calm, doesn't matter what's going on the surface. So if I were you, and sometimes I think I am, I would not be too disturbed by your surface disturbances, because these are a lie. Satan will use these disturbances to try to trick you into thinking you're not a peaceful person, you're not a justified person, you're not a godly person. If you were a godly person, you would be at peace. If you were a godly person, nothing would bother you. If you were a godly person, you would like, forget it. That's the Eastern religion bullshit of having the same disposition of having a calm. You're actually concentrating not on God, but on calm. You're concentrating on the surface calm, as if your surface needs to be still as glass, like the Atlantic Ocean was on the night the Titanic sank. No, that's a lie. That is a complete lie. Because look, the ocean was calm and the Titanic sank. Listen, the ocean was completely glassy and calm and the Titanic sank the same night. Because if the ocean had been the least bit riled up, the lookout on the crow's nest, in the crow's nest, on the Titanic would have seen the iceberg because the waves would have been crashing against the iceberg. And so a storm-tossed sea would have actually helped him, or at least a ripply sea would have helped saved lives. But no. So don't be deceived by this idea that you must be calm. And that if you're not calm, you're not of God. If you're not at peace, perfect peace all the time. No, you know, don't be worried about the surface disturbances. You have a foundation. You do have a foundation. You believe in the death, the entombment, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know that this has nothing to do with your opinions, with your work, with your belief. You know that everything given to you is a gift. So you're in. That's it. That's the foundation. No man can lay any other foundation except that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's your foundation. And it's the bedrock of the ocean. It's the Marianas Trench. It's so deep that it's soundless and nothing can disturb it. That's the essential you. That's the quintessential you, the fifth essence. And so I don't want you to be uber or even micro disturbed by your surface disturbances. They're normal. Satan will use them against you. He will lie about them. This is the real you. Bull crap. It's not the real you. The real you is, quote, you have died together with Christ. You have been crucified together with Christ. And the life that you live in faith. Your faith? No, the faith that is of the Son of God, who gave his life for you. Christ is the foundation. The cross is the foundation. You died, and your life is hid together with God in Christ. I'm quoting scripture left and right here. I'm paraphrasing it, but it's scripture nonetheless. I'm not giving you any verses, but if I had to give you something, I would say go to Romans chapter 6. And that's your identity. Freedom in this life. I'll give you the secret of freedom and happiness right now, free of charge, on this show from Laundry Room. The secret of happiness and freedom in this life is recognizing that your life is tied with Jesus Christ's life. It's not your own. The life you live is your own, the surface stuff, but underneath, your life is tied together with Jesus Christ. And God looks at you as though he's looking at Christ. Christ's crucifixion, Christ's death, that's the negative side, also Christ's resurrection. You're totally identified. And as my friend Dan Sheridan once said, and I'll always remember these words, if you want to know what your life is about, look at the life of Christ. If you want to know what your future is, look at the life of Christ. If you want to know what your past is, look at the life of Christ. That's how intimately tied we are in the body of Christ. You won't find this truth in Israel. You won't find this truth in the four Gospels. You won't find this truth in Hebrews or Revelation, this book we've been studying that I'm departing from today because I have to, I need to give you this message. I'm still going to get back to the Amish church sign and the fact that I had to walk to get away from the trauma of being a citizen in a world where I don't belong. Look, I want to find fellowship with you right now. You and I are going to fellowship right now around this fact that you and I are expatriates in this world. We are walking among aliens. We are walking among brain dead people who have been dumbed down by several different means. The means we've talked about in the book of the Unveiling, the intoxicant of Babylon. But people are going with the flow. I just talked to somebody the other day who said, I'm just going with the flow. So if the flow goes over a waterfall, you're going with the flow. No ability to think. And it's not their fault, ultimately, is it? No, it's God's, quote, fault. It's also God's fault that you're chosen. Friend, you have won the lottery. You and I have won the lottery. And we have been awakened. You remember that verse I gave you a little while ago? Rouse, O drowsy one, and rise from among the dead, and the light of Christ will shine upon you. We have been awakened. Now, someday we're going to be totally awakened where the Spirit of God is going to infuse us, and those of us who have died in Christ, none of you who are listening to my voice at this time, I have friends who have died in Christ, they're going to be literally awakened from the dead. But metaphorically speaking, you and I have already been awakened. We're sensitive. Our nerve endings are open. And we're alive to the things of God. And thank God, look, it doesn't take much for God to tell us something. He just has to nudge us, and we get it, because all our nerve endings are open. This is a hell of a way to live. It's almost a terrible way to live, because it's hard being so sensitive. And I've often prayed to God, why do I have to be so sensitive? Why can't I be like one of these assholes who can just close their heart and be cold and not be affected by things? And they seem to exist in a vacuum, in a vault of their own making where nothing affects them. And yet, what does it take to wake these people up? It's going to take, on this earth, the tribulation, the day of indignation, the 3.5 years of the fury of God coming to the earth via bowls, thunders, lightnings, seals being opened, and God's hand coming through the veil to afflict humanity. And then after that, it's going to take the great white throne judgment. It's going to take a wrecking ball to the head to wake people up. But you and I have been sensitized. We've been awakened now. And yes, it has its drawbacks. It does. One of the drawbacks is you're ultra sensitive. And so the comments of people hurt you, cut you deeply. The disdain of people, people ignoring you, people shutting their hearts to you hurts. That's okay. You can thank God for it today because you're awake. You're sensitive to the Spirit of God. And even though it hurts, it's going to save you in the long run. And it does save you in the long run because you're sensitive because you're chosen. And now it doesn't take a wrecking ball for God to tell you something, does it? No. Just a little nudge of the elbow, just a little poke. He doesn't have to wreck your world. He just gives a little poke during your day. A little piece of depression, a little piece of bad news from over here, or a little piece of bad news from over here, and you're aware. And you're asking yourself, what's God trying to tell me through this? Great question. Because God speaks today through circumstances, and you're alive to these circumstances. And folks, every day is a trial because we do not belong on this earth. And I'm going to talk to you more again tomorrow about this, about my walk upon the earth, my literal walk upon the earth, and among a community full of Mennonites. And when I used to live in Greenwich, Ohio, we had a Mennonite population there and an Amish population, and they were religious hypocrites. And I saw a sign that galvanized me. Well, at first it pissed me off, then it galvanized me. And I realized I had to do something about it. I had to teach against it. This keeps me sane on this world, in this world where I'm an expatriate, on this world where I don't belong. Hebrews says it perfectly. We are men and women walking upon a planet where we have no country, we have no home, we have no place to rest our head like our Lord. I mean, yes, I know we live in houses, we live in apartments, but we have no place to fellowship except with each other. It's like we're this gaggle of freaks. And when we get together, it's great because it's like, yes, I understand you. I understand you and you and you and you and you. Because once we get together, we might not even have ever met in the flesh. And yet, bang, we're instantly connected by this vitality of the Spirit of God. It's phenomenal. And it's a lifeline to us to survive this foreign land. I'm in a foreign land. I don't relate to the people of the planet. They're zombies. We're walking among zombies, and we're the few people who are alive. And when we leave this planet, when God calls us, and the snatching away is real, it's the next big thing on God's calendar. When this happens, nobody's going to miss us. Are you kidding? You're kidding me, right? You think? Yeah, maybe your immediate loved ones will miss you, but some of them won't even miss you. This is the next great thing on God's calendar, and we're the only freaks on the planet looking forward to it. But you're not alone. I'm with you. That should be important to you. It should be vital information for you today. Even though we don't talk every day, we don't communicate every day, we're together. And we're going to make it. We're stragglers, right? We're absolute stragglers. It ain't pretty. I never said it was. In fact, I've often said it isn't. When the Allies got a beach head on Normandy in World War II, was ugly. Many people died. It was a ragtag operation. Many things went wrong, but they got a beachhead and they eventually overcame the enemy. We have a hold on the beach. We have a beachhead, and the victory has been won by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He's bringing us through. But He's bringing us through with trial, with persecution, with suffering, because it is by suffering that He is bringing many sons and daughters to glory. You are privileged to be among this company. I am too. And I'm happy to be here with you. Believe me, we're an exclusive organization here, and it's an organization not by man, but by God. It's freelance. It's beautiful. It's spontaneous. You never know what's going to happen day by day, just like this show. Didn't know I was going to be talking about this today. It's grassroots. It's beautiful. I love being on this walk with you. Tomorrow I'm going to give you more. I'm going to tell you a little tale about my walk among the Mennonite community. And we're going to revel in the truth. Truth consists of facts given us by God, written in His Word. Don't worry about anything, my friends, but with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. And then the peace of God, which is superior to every frame of mind, will be garrisoning your hearts in Christ Jesus.